This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, July 12th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. WOTUS in play after Chevron. Hovind, maybe next year better for a farm bill. And bird flu response cost rising. WOTUS, ag policy could benefit from Chevron reversal, Rouser says. North Carolina Republican Representative Dave Rouser says the Biden administration's Waters of the U.S. rule could be vulnerable due to the Supreme Court's recent overruling of the Chevron doctrine, which has given federal agencies authority to interpret the laws passed by Congress. Most major House committees, transportation and infrastructure, agriculture, ways and means, and energy and commerce, for example, are probing for regulations that might, quote, run afoul of the new administrative regime, Rouser noted. I would suspect it would be quite a number, particularly the ones that really don't pass the smell test, he said on AgriPulse Newsmakers. You can check back to our website to watch the new episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers featuring Rouser, Ray Starling, and Barbara Patterson discussing WOTUS, Proposition 12, and an outlook on issues facing rural voters. Hovind, maybe better to wait on a farm bill. A leading Republican senator says delaying the farm bill to next Congress would be preferable to passing one this year without needed changes to the agriculture risk coverage and price loss coverage programs. Hovind, a senior member of the Senate Ag Committee and ranking member on the Ag Appropriations Subcommittee, told AgriPulse Rebecca Alvey yesterday those commodity programs are key to getting more farm in the farm bill. We want to get a farm bill, but it's most important that we get a good farm bill that works for our farmers and ranchers, Hovind said. It's more important that we get that done than we get it done this year. If it takes us to next year, then it takes us to next year. If a new farm bill remains stalled into September, Hovind said the House and the Senate Ag Committees should pass a new extension of the 2018 farm bill sooner versus later to avoid any confusion in the country. The message is it's most important that we get this right so that support for farmers and ranchers is there, Hovind said. APHIS response to bird flu, $1.3 billion and counting. USDA's response to avian influenza in poultry and cows will end up costing at least $2 billion. That according to figures shared by the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service on an AgriPulse webinar yesterday. Jonathan Zack, director of the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service National Preparedness and Incident Coordination Center, said APHIS has committed about $1.3 billion to date, including $901 million to cover depopulation of poultry and eggs and $239 million on disposal of birds and the personnel cost associated with that. The total also includes $163 million to address the recent outbreak of highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cows. Another $816 million is available to continue addressing the presence of avian flu in both poultry and cows, he said, and emphasized that more resources will be available if needed. APHIS is reporting 146 dairy herds in 12 states have been infected since the first detection in Texas in late March. In poultry, meanwhile, an egg layer operation in Colorado was hit earlier this week. The Colorado Sun reported the facility has nearly 1.8 million birds. Zach confirmed that the virus has moved from dairy farms to poultry farms in some cases. Based on the phylogenetic footprint, he said, I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. China opens investigation into possible cooking oil contamination. Chinese authorities have opened an investigation into food safety concerns associated with cooking oil after a local media investigation found that tankers carrying edible soybean oil were also used to carry chemicals, but without any cleaning between shipments. The investigation by Beijing News, a state-backed outlet, implicated vehicles carrying product from state-owned Sinograin and China Energy Investment Corporation, a national-level company overseen by the government. A reporter for the outlet followed a tanker carrying a type of hydrocarbon that is converted into liquid fuel to another region where the tanker filled up with soybean oil without stopping for cleaning. Earlier this week, China State Council said it was forming an investigative group with officials from the Food Safety Commission, the Public Safety Bureau, and other ministries to explore the issue and severely punish those found breaking the law, according to state media. Produce business sanctioned over PACA violations. USDA has sanctioned three produce businesses in Arkansas, New York, and Virginia for not meeting contractual obligations to produce sellers and not paying the subsequent reparation awards issued under the Perishable Agricultural Commodities Act. The PACA reparation awards require businesses to pay damages for failing to meet their obligations in buying and selling fresh and frozen fruits and vegetables. As a result of the sanctions, the business's PACA license will be suspended. The principal operators also will be prohibited from engaging in PACA licensed business or other activity without USDA approval. The penalized businesses are E and Triple R LLC in Jonesboro, Arkansas, for not paying a $9,110 reward to a California seller. Otto Brayman and Inc. in Yonkers, New York, for not paying $12,361 reward to a Pennsylvania seller, and Blue Light Produce LLC in Charlottesville, Virginia, for not paying a $93,322 reward to an Arizona seller. Cranberry marketing order officially terminated. USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service has officially terminated the marketing order for cranberries after growers and handlers overwhelmingly voted last year in favor of dropping it. Growers representing about 80% of the production volume oppose continuation of the order, which regulates the handling of cranberries in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, Washington, and Long Island in the state of New York. BLM approves herbicides for use on public lands. The Bureau of Land Management yesterday announced it has approved seven herbicides to control weeds and invasive species on public lands. Invasive annual grasses like cheatgrass threaten wildlife habitat for sage grouse and mule deer, the agency said. Take note, although the decision clears the way for BLM offices to use the herbicides, they still will need to complete a local National Environmental Policy Act analysis before doing so. Brasher and Johnson head to Milwaukee for Republican convention. Next week, AgriPulse, Philip Brasher, and Lydia Johnson will be in Milwaukee covering the Republican National Convention starting Sunday. Follow Daybreak Drive Time at AgriPulse.com for updates. We also plan a special convention edition of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, July 12th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Dowling.